drashim in the Gemara sometimes, Esav represents the Christian religion. Yaakov and Esav were twins, and the Christians represent themselves as if their religion is a twin religion with the Jewish religion, as if we share a lot in common, as if there's a Judeo-Christian tradition. And Rashi in his commentary on Chumash quotes from the Medrash, the pasuk that reads the pasuk in Tehillim, Yecharsu Menu Chazir Miyar, that the Chazir has one sin in Tahara, but he doesn't have the other one. The Chazir has Mafris Parsa, but he's not Malagero. So the Chazir stretches out his legs in order to show everybody that he's kosher. You see, I'm kosher. And he hides the fact that he's not Malagero, he's not kosher. So too, this is supposed to represent the Christian religion, that they claim that they have a valid religion. They're twins with the Yankov Avinu, twins with the Jewish religion. And this is also acceptable. The religion is also kosher. And we assume that it's not kosher. The main difference between Yankov and Esav is that by Esav, everything revolves about man. And by Yankov, everything revolves about God. God is in the center of everything by the Jewish people. Esav, in today's Sedra, Malchus Edom, you have the whole end of the Sedra, Elam Lachem Shamocho B'Edom. Let's name Malach Melech Levnei Yisrael. The Jewish people have to have a government also. There's a mitzvah to establish a Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael. But it's not from the major mitzvahs. You have no choice. You have to have a government. You have to have an army. If you don't have an army, you can be wiped out. But the army is not the most, from all the mitzvahs in the Torah, to have an army is not the biggest mitzvah in the world. To have a government is not the biggest mitzvah in the world. We have the bigger mitzvahs. And here in Parshas Vayishlach, such a great emphasis is placed on all on the Malachim Shemoch of the Edom and the army that Esav had, Arba Me'asi Shima. Such a tremendous army. What do you have described about Yaakov Avinu today, Sedra? No army, no government, no kings. They have a din of, he was given an additional mitzvah of Gilan Asher, and he destroys the Avodah Zarah, Bir Avodah Zarah. And he wants to come back to Eretz Yisrael to be involved in Ruchnia's bigger things, to fulfill his nether, to make a mizbeach, to bring karbonus. It's quite a contrast. There is a medrash that reads, Lama nikra shmo chazir, she'oser HaKadosh Baruch Hu lachzir l'Yisrael. So this is problematic. What do you mean? The Rambam writes what he considers are the Yud Gimel Ikari Ha'emunah, so one of them is that none of the laws of the Torah will change. So what do you mean? It's called the Chazir because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to permit us to eat Chazir in the future? Is that against the laws of the Torah? I mean, Lasid Lavoi, the mitzvah is going to be buckled. We won't have to observe the mitzvahs of Kashrus in the future. Why not? So some interpret the Medrash to mean that Lasid Lavoi, the Chazir will be Malagera in addition to being Mafris Parsa. Now, boy, Lamazet's only Mafris Parsa. Why should Rabbanu Shalom stand on his head to make such a stunt? Why should he change the Teva? So the Rishonim say, they don't think that that's what the Medrash is driving at. The Medrash is not talking about Macholos Hasuros of Chazir. Medrash is talking about the Malchus Edom, the Malchus of the Chazir. They refer to Esav, they refer to the Christians as the Chazir. The Chazir who claims that he's kosher, who claims that he's a twin with Yankov, and their religion has something in common with the Jewish religion. So the Medrash says, Lamanik Shmo Chazir, why do we always describe Esav as the Chazir? Shas HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lachzir L'Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give the Malchus back to the Jewish people. Asi Lavoi, Malchus Edom will collapse. There'll be Malchus Yisrael, the Melech HaMashiach will be the Melech over the whole world. The Gemara in Nida has a machlokes where the mitzvah is betelos lasi lava, but the pashup shat in the Gemara is the Gemara is talking about lasi lava. There'll be two different categories of human beings. There'll be people who were born from parents, or born from parents, but like all of us here today. Then there'll be people after Tchiyas HaMeisim. So the Gemara wants to know those people after Tchiyas HaMeisim. So while they're dead, obviously they're not obligated to fulfill any mitzvahs. Meisim Chavshim. The question is, what do you mean? How long are the Meisim Chavshim? And the Meis Manin Chavshim calls man that the Meisim, so the Pshita, the Meisim Chavshim. Cherush Yotu B'Kotan is also Potam and HaMitzvah. The Meis is more of a Larvadas. It's a Larvachias. Or should I say, Meisim Chavshim, even after Tchias HaMeisim, they're still Chavshim, still Pturim and HaMitzvah. So that's the simple reading of the Gemara. The Gemara bases in HaMeisim Chavshim, those who will come back to life after having been dead for so many centuries, will they be Chayv and Mitzvah Sana? But those who will be born naturally, the Pashtus and the Gemara is that they will be Chayv and Mitzvah. Those who will be born after Tchias
HaMeisim. No, those who came back, who came on Tchias
HaMeisim. Yeah,
no.
That's what the Gemara says. That's what it sounds like. That's a machlokes in the Gemara. Ashayla, how we pass. Yeah. That's the machlokes in the Gemara. The Gemara talks about burying a mace with tachrichim that are shatnas. So the Mishnah says you permitted to use shatnas to put it on the aroin, on the mace, while you deliver the hespedim. Is it permissible to bury the mace with the shatnas? So what's the issue? So the issue is, the Gemara says in Chelek, in the last parak in Sanhedrin, that when the mace will come back to life, the mace will come back to life with the begadim that they were buried with. So that's the question. If they're going to come back to life with the begadim, then the begadim will be shatnas. So by our putting on what, the minute they come up back from life, so they have to take off their clothing. They're going to walk around without any clothes on. So that's the Gemara has such a machlekes whether meisim after tchias meisim will be prohibited or permitted to wear shatnas. So tit chazan, right? That's the machlekes. Parsha Vayishlach opens up. The Gemara in Masechah Soita places a lot of emphasis on the prohibition of Chanifa L'Rishoyim. You pat a rush on the back and you encourage him on. Great, we're buddies, we're friendly, wonderful. Especially they give donations to the shul, they give donations to the yeshiva, so we have a testimonial in his honor and we praise the fellow. He told me there was a certain kollel that had a testimonial dinner in honor of their major donor, and his wife was not Jewish, so she got up and she said, in honor of her husband's religion, she's donating $100,000 from her own money to this kollel. So that kollel closed down. So this is a question of Chanifa L'Rishoyim. The Gemara says if it's clear that a person is a Baal Aver, a person is Mechal Shabbos, or a person is married to a non-Jewish woman or something, and we don't rebuke them, we don't say a word. Adarabba, we pat them on the back, and we play footsie with them, and we give testimonials, and we give them kibbutim as if there's nothing wrong. You don't have to bop them over the head all the time. You don't have to be right of everybody all the time. Sometimes it's hard to give tochacha. You have to know how to give tochacha. You have to know how to speak the right language, how to get to the person. But even if you don't know how to give tochacha, so there's... But you're not allowed to do Chanifa L'Rishoyim. The Gemara considers that a serious aver. Here, the beginning of Parshas Vayishlach, the whole thing is Chanifa to Esav. Keeps on chamfening Esav. Ko somer la adoni li Esav, ko am avdecha yankiv, and so on, avdecha yankiv, lim tzachem v'yene adoni. Such Chanifa. We would never talk like that. Yankiv Avinu is chamfening his brother Esav. So after this long sugya, Masech HaSoyta, where the Gemara emphasizes so much the prohibition against Chanifa L'Rishoyim is basically a form of Lifniva L'Sita Mirshom. The fellow's doing the Aveira anyway, but if a religious Jew pats him on the back and he doesn't rebuke him at all and he doesn't show him at all that he's doing anything wrong, so you're encouraging the person to continue to sin, to continue to go on his way, or give his major donation to the shul or to the yeshiva, and everything is okay. He could do all the Aveiras that he wants. So that's in a certain sense a form of Lifniva L'Sita Mirshom. So after the long sugya of Chanifa L'Rishoyim, how severe the Isser is, the Gemara says, a final conclusion, Muta lahachne for Rishoyim ba'olam hazeh. Ba'olam hazeh it's muta. So when is it also? Ba'olam haba. What does it mean? So Tosis comments on the Gemara that they think what it means, Muta lahachne for Rishoyim ba'olam hazeh, means b'mokim pikuach nefesh. You shouldn't think that the Isser Chanifa L'Rishoyim is so severe that it's considered Yehorek Ba'yavar. So when you bump into a Rasha, like Esav, who's considering murdering his brother Yankiv, so that Yankiv is not even allowed to be machnef to his brother Esav, even with makam pikuach nefesh. So that's what the Gemara says. No, if there's a hashash, a sofik, a pikuach nefesh, then it's mutter. Pikuach nefesh doesn't mean that your institution is going to close down. Pikuach nefesh means that someone may lose their life. The yeshiva is going to close down. That's pikuach nefesh for the institution, but that's not pikuach nefesh for a Jewish person.
How do we ever compare it with, because the Fiyavaris that we know that you have to, even the coffee cough nefesh, you're not allowed to get your little aspirin and stuff in there. So, how do we compare, when do we compare with the lava, if it's a lava of Chani for the shrine, or if it's with Maver, it's still a mitzvah, so the chayben, so the love. So
okay.
Why does the Gemara?
If there's such a long sugya in the Gemara emphasizing so much the prohibitions, the Gemara gets so carried away. So one would think this is the worst of air in the world. Then it's your hard. Yeah, the Gemara says no. Keep your bearings. It's an aver, like all the aver live neighbors. It's an aver. So the mokum pikuach nefesh is mutta. Yeah, nachin ami. Sometimes there's adversity from the Rishoyim. Sometimes there's suffix sakana from Rishoyim. Boilam Abba, there probably won't be any sakana from the Rishoyim. That's how Tosis interprets the Gemara. But aside from situations where there's pikuach nefesh, then the Gemara emphasizes the prohibition of chanifa le Rishoyim. Remember once in the yeshiva there was a discussion about any yeshiva, honoring Mechal Shabbos, honoring a Rosh at their annual dinner, is it permissible or not? So one of the Rabbanim in the yeshiva said, what are you talking about? They understand, everybody understands that we're just honoring them for the fact that they're giving money, we're not honoring them for the fact that they're doing Averis. They all understand that their Averis are Averis. What do you mean they all understand? They don't understand. There's a Rav Moshe Feinstein, has a whole shiva. They don't understand. If you chanfer a Russia because he gives donation to the yeshiva, so he thinks what he's doing is fine, wonderful. As long as he gives his $100,000 to the yeshiva, he can continue living with his non-Jewish wife and continue not observing Shabbos and Kashrus and everything else. It's not fine. At the dinner, when you honor him, so you have to speak about Yiddishkeit. You have to speak. You can't just talk about what a wonderful person he is. You have to at least give some kind of a remez that he has to shape up. You have to bop him over the head. You can give a dinner in his honor, but you have to speak about Yiddishkeit also at the dinner. You should know that there's something more to Yiddishkeit than just supporting charitable institutions. Yankov Avinu had a whole family over here. So he was on his way back to Eretz Yisrael, and he's schlepping all these packages all by himself in the middle of the night. So it says, "Vayivarsa Yaakov levado, vayiyovi kishimo." So Rashi quotes from the Gemara that Yaakov Avinu went back to take care of the pachim ketanim. The children didn't want to schlep. So he said, "Leave it there already. What do you have to schlep all this junk for? You have to schlep everything back to Eretz Yisrael." He insisted he wants to take every little piece of junk that he had. So the Gemara in Chulin, Perikid Anoshe, the Parsha has about Kid Anoshe. The Gemara in Perikid Anoshe has a discussion of the story. So the Gemara says that the reason why tzaddikim are so insistent on preserving every little piece of junk that they have in the house is because it was gained by their hard-earned money. The people who cheat on income tax and they cheat in business, the money comes easy to them. So it's not so difficult to part with their money. So they leave this junk behind. Big deal. It was all stolen money anyway. They had no right to buy their junk in the first place. But tzaddikim chaviv aleihem mamaynam yosem migufam. The Gemara has an expression that by the tzaddikim, because they're not nenim in agezel, they're so makbid on honesty in business, every little piece of junk that they buy was from kosher money. So that's why it's more precious to them. So Yaakov Avinu was all by himself. He had all these children. No one wanted to help him. And then middle of the night, this fellow comes and he mugs him. And he slugs him. And he broke his leg. What was going on here? Who was he? So the Haftorah says that it was a malach. of Torah from Navi says that it was a malach with whom he was fighting. And the question is, who won the fight? So in the Chumash is a little unclear who won the fight. He broke his leg. So the malach won the fight, or Yankov. So the pasuk in the Navi in the Haftarah says that Yankov Avinu won the fight. In the middle of the fight, the malach broke his leg a little bit, but basically Yankov Avinu won the fight. What is the moral of the story? That Yankov won the fight? So the Radak writes in his commentary on Chumash, as well as Radak has beautiful commentary on Chumash, as well as his commentary on Navi, that the malachim represent the teva. The Gemara Chulin has an expression, every blade of grass that grows on the earth has a malach melmaila, has an angel in heaven, hamaka osu yamalo gadel. The malachim usually represent the way the Rabbanu Shalom runs his world, b'derech ha-teva. So when you have a fight between Yaakov Avinu and the malach, it means there's a clash between Bnei Yisrael. Yaakov Avinu represents the Jewish nation, the Jewish people, and teva. So Klal Yisrael is lamaila min ha-teva. That's the Ramban Alatera has this. He considers this an ikir in our religion. What in the Kori Hamuna, the Ein Mazal Yisrael. We spoke about it. Ramban emphasizes this in several places in his commentary on Chumash, that it doesn't necessarily apply to an individual Jew, individual Jewish person, is tachas hateva, but the Klal Yisrael as a nation is not subject to teva. Klal Yisrael is lamala ben hateva. The Baruch Shalom has two types of hanhoga in the world. He has a hanhoga of teva and a hanhoga of nisim, hanhoga of lamala ben hateva. We have two different calendars. One calendar begins with Tishrei, one calendar begins with Nisan. So the Mishnah in the beginning of Rosh Hashanah and the Gemara explains the Mishnah, that Rosh Hashanah l'malchi umas ha'olam is echad b'tishrei, and Rosh Hashanah l'malchi Yisrael is echad b'nisan. Why? So the Ran on the Rif explains over there that this is not stam, this was the conventional practice that they had in the days of the Tanaim. No, this is not stam convention, this is a mitzvah. Chodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodashim, that Jewish history has to begin from Chodesh Nisan, the Chodesh of Nisim, the Chodesh of Geula, B'Nisim Nigalu, B'Nisim Asidim Lehigoyel. The Jewish history is L'mayla Min HaTeva. And world history starts from Rosh Chodesh Tishrei, the Mechad B'Tishrei. We assume that B'Tishrei Nivra Ha'olam, when the Rabbanu Shalom created the world, in Sheshes Mei Bereshis, Echad B'Tishrei was the sixth day of the Sheshes Mei Bereshis. But it was that season of the world. It wasn't Hayom Haras Olam. Doesn't mean that was the first day of the creation of the world. The sixth day of creation, when Adam Rishon was created. Everything before Adam Rishon is considered prehistoric. There was nobody there to record it. The Baruch Shalom recorded it, but there was no human being watching it. So the Midrashim say that Bechod B'Tishrei Nivra Ha'olam means that's when Adam Rishon was created, the sixth day of the Sheshes Mei Bereshis. So the Rabbanu Shalom instituted at that time principles of physics and chemistry and biology and principles of history that govern history. And if a person understands history well, he can predict the rise and fall of any given country. So that's what the Mishnah says in the beginning of Rosh Hashanah, that all of world history is governed with the rules and regulations that were instituted in the Sheshes Mei Bereshis. That's what it means, that it's tachas shlita sakachovim v'hamazolus. It doesn't mean that the stars have a shlita over man. It means if you know how to read the stars properly, if you understand the rules of history well, you can predict what the next step is going to be. Because all of world history, except for Jewish history, follows certain rules and regulations. Klal Yisrael is l'malam en ha-teva, ein mazal Yisrael, v'nat tachas shlita sakachovim v'hamazolus. So that's what this idea, this what this story is supposed to represent, that when the Yankov Avinu fights with the Malach, Yankov wins, the Malach succeeds in breaking his leg. So the Jewish people do not escape unscathed. We suffer a lot through all the years, through all the persecution and so on, all the pogroms and everything, but the Klal Yisrael continues to exist on in a fashion of l'malam en ha-teva. It doesn't go on. Individual Jews are not l'malam en ha-teva. Individual people are tachas shlita sakachov hamazolus. But Klal Yisrael, that's what the Rashba writes in the Tshuvas HaRashba, that statement, ein mazal Yisrael, goes on Klal Yisrael as a whole, doesn't go on individual people. The pasuk says that al kein lo yochlo b'nei Yisrael is gid anoshe, that we're not allowed to eat gid anoshe because of this story. What aspect of the story I was supposed to remember? When we refrain from eating gid anoshe, what aspect of the story are we supposed to remember? So some Rishonim interpret, Alkein Lecha B'nei Yisrael, the children of Yaakov Avinu accepted upon themselves as a kapara, not to eat Gid Anoshim, because it was their fault that they didn't help out the father. They would have helped the father schlep. They told the father, leave all the junk there. What are you wasting your time? What do you have to schlep? We want to go to sleep already. So they didn't help him. So they violated Kibbutz. So as a kapara for their violation of Kibbutz, that's why the father was injured by this, by Yovik Ishimo. So they accepted upon themselves not to eat Gid Anoshim. So we're supposed to abstain from Gid Anoshim to remember to fulfill Kibbutz. Okay, I belong to the parents' union. I was sent today to speak about the significance of mitzvah kibbutz. Kibbutz is an important mitzvah still, even though b'zman hazeh, believe it or not. People think that for some reason or another it doesn't apply today. It's in Aseres Hadibros and it still applies today. But it's usually assumed that not like that pshat, that some of the rishonim are going like that. We shouldn't eat Gid Anoshim to remember the violation of kibbutz. Is usually assumed to mean something much more than that. We shouldn't eat the Gid Anoshim to remember this principle of our, what the Ramban considers a Nikir and Emunah, that Ein Mazal Yisrael, that when Klal Yisrael is up against Teva, so Bnei Yisrael Alamayla Mena Teva. Gid Anoshim, the Gemara says, applies to, the Mishnah says, applies to Behema, V'chaya doesn't apply to Oph. Why? Because the Pasuk says that Al-Kei Lechman says, Gid Anoshim, Asher Al-Kaf HaYorech. So the Gemara says that an Oif, the Mishnah says, an Oif doesn't have a Kaf HaYorech. Gemara says, what do you mean an Oif doesn't have? It has a Kaf HaYorech. It's impossible. Gemara says, yeah, it has a Kaf, but the Kaf is not Ogul. It's not round like that. In the Behema Nachaya, the Kaf is Ogul, so therefore Gid Anoshim is Noyig. You have sometimes dinim that only apply to Behema, don't apply to Chai. Sometimes dinim only apply to Chai, don't apply to Behema. You have it when you learn Chulin. Avosiv Ezbeno only applies to Behema, doesn't apply to Chai. The Kisei Adam is the reverse, only applies to Chaya, and Ov doesn't apply to Behema. And Chelev is only by Behema. Chelev Chaya is Mutter, the exact same part of the animal. But Nachaya, it's called Shuman. By Behem, it's called Chelev. The exact same properties, everything the same. Chelev is only Noeg in Behem and Anachayim. And this mitzvah of Kisei Adam, the mitzvah of Kisei Adam is only by Chaya, not Behem. And this mitzvah of Gid Anoshim, the Mishnah says, applies equally to Behem and Chaya, doesn't apply to Ov. The Gemara has an Ibayat like Sheet, the Gemara has a Sofik. What does that mean? That's the din, that it doesn't apply to Ov and it does apply to Behem and Chaya. Or should I say no? The Gemara has a suffix. What if you have an oaf and it has an abnormal formation of the kaf hayorech? It is ogul. What if you have an oaf that has a kaf ogul? What if you have behema v'chaya that's abnormal, but the kaf hayorech is not ogul? Does it depend on behema v'chaya versus oaf, the different min of the type of the animal, or does it depend on kaf ogul versus not kaf ogul? So the Gemara remains at a baidlev shita. Really, you should, when you learn Chulin, you have to keep this in mind. So there are other Gemaras that seem to say beferish that it's a din of Behema V'chaya. It's not a din of Ogul versus not Ogul. But this little piece of Gemara says in the Yeridei, it's quoted, that this is a suffix, Veka Adina, and then by the Lev Shita.
Isn't the Rambam Paskin that it does have the Gid Anoshim, you do have to give it to me?
Misafik, yeah, misafik, but you don't get malchus, yeah. And if you have a behemah v'chai that do not have ogul, so you're not allowed to eat it either, but you wouldn't get malchus there either, because it's misafik in the Gemara. It's an ibay delev shita. All the Gemara seem to indicate clearly that it depends on the min of behemah v'chai. And this ibay delev shita indicates we're not sure whether it depends on min behemah v'chai, or it depends on ogul versus not ogul, the maisa ogul versus not ogul. Gid Anoshim is one of the macholas asuris. We have many macholas asuris. You have a behemet tmeon, you have dogim tmeon, you have basa b'cholot, you have nevela, trefa, you have a whole list of macholas asuris. The Gemara singles out Gid Anoshim as a psak quirk. The Gemara says it doesn't have a flavor. It doesn't really taste like anything. The Gemara calls it eitzu, la toira asrosa. It's not eitz, it's not a piece of wood. It means eitz, la ashtik holz. It's not roi lachila. Not roi lachila, so it doesn't. We would never have thought that it belongs to the category of macholas asuris, but that's halacha is considered macholas asuris. So, but because eitzel, because it doesn't have any flavor, so the Gemara says. Therefore, if you cook Gid Anoshim in a pot with soup, it's in a nice and tam. It doesn't give any tam, so it doesn't ask. That's how we pass it. like the satanoim, whether there is some insignificant flavor that comes out of the gid anasha, so that's a machlekes satanoim. So we pass from the halacha, the gid anasha ain't the gid midaisin tam, that the tam that comes out is not counted as tam kiika.
If it doesn't have any tam, then why was it considered a kapara? There's no.
I don't know. A very strong kash. What kind of a kapara? What are they volunteering to abstain from eating? No one would have eaten it anyway. He spit it out. I don't know.
What does exactly mean, ugly? That the describing
just how the leg looks, or I think the leg has a round thing on top instead of being flat.
It just depends on the animal. I mean, this depends on the actual gid itself, or the leg surrounding the gid.
The part of the leg below the gid. The gid goes over the kaf ha-yerech. So the Gemara says, by behemah v'chaya, 99% of the time the kaf ha-yerech is ugly. 1% of the time it'll be flat. And 99% of ofos, probably more than 99% of ofos, the kaf ha-yerech will be flat, and less than 1% will be ogul. So the Gemara is not sure whether it depends on ogul or it depends on the min of the heim of a chai versus the min of ogul. The Rambam writes in Hilchas Korban Pesach, when you have to broil the Korban Pesach, you can't cook it, you can't fry it, it has to be dafke. You have to broil it. So the pasuk says, "Rosh al kroah val kirba." You're supposed to broil the whole korban pesach intact. You're not supposed to slice it up into lamb chops and then broil each lamb chop separately. You have to broil the whole korban pesach and then slice it afterwards. So the Rambam writes, when you broil the korban pesach, well, first of all, you have to remove the chalev. The chalev you have to burn on the mizbeach, so you don't broil the whole thing intact. Then he says you have to yank out the dam yezarek on the mizbeach when you bring a korban pesach. When you salt meat, or when you broil meat, and you remove the dam, that only succeeds in removing the dam in the capillaries. That will not succeed in removing the dam in the big arteries or in the big veins. So you have to yank out the chutei dam. You have to take out the big arteries and the big veins, because salting is not going to remove that dam, and broiling is not going to remove that dam. So the Rambam says you got no choice. After you zorek the dam on the mizbeach, you have to yank out the chutei dam and the chutei chelev. Not all the chelev is burnt on the mizbeach. You have to, even the chelev that's not burnt on the mizbeach, you have to remove from the korban pesach before you broil it. It'll make treif the whole korban pesach. But the Rambam says you leave the gid anasha there. And then after you broil the korban pesach, then you remove the gid anasha. So the Ravid writes in his hasogas on the Rambam. The Ravid always has his sharp way of presenting his hasogas. So he says, if I would be there in the Beis HaMikdash when he would bring his Korban Pesach, I would throw it on the floor and tell him he's not allowed to eat it, because he just made a treif. Where's your seichel? You broil the Korban Pesach with the gid anasha, so everything is treif. So it's taka very strange. If the Rambam says you have to remove all the chutei chelev and the chutei dam, so why doesn't he insist on removing the gid anasha before? So the Kesem Mishnah says, because we paskin that ain't begidim b'nai sitam, that b'di'evet, the gid anasha doesn't ask that there's no din of tam kiker. And on the other hand, there's a mitzvah of rosh al krov al kirba. You should boil the whole korban pesach intact. So those parts of the korban pesach, you have no choice. You have to remove the chutei chelev and the chutei dam. They'll ask the whole korban pesach. If you boil it together, it'll become treif because of chelev and dam. So that you have no choice. But as far as the gid anasha, since it won't ask her, b'di'evet, so it's better to leave it in when you do the broiling. Boil it all intact, and then you remove the gid anasha later. But then the Kesem Mishnah asks the Kasha, what's going to be with the Shuman HaGid? The Gemara says that not only is the gid anasha asur, the Shuman HaGid is also asur. The Shuman HaGid is very tasty. That does give Nesinas Tam. So Tosfos on the Mishnah and gid anasha around Daf Tzadik Vav, so Tosfos has two opinions. Gid anasha is not asur min ator. They asur it, agzera otug, Shuman HaGid. Gid anasha is asur min ator, but shumer agid is not asur min ator. Shumer agid is only asur agzera otu gid anasha. So Tosfos has two opinions. Since ain begidin b'naisin tam, gid anasha doesn't asur b'naisin tam. So should I say that shumer agid also doesn't asur either, even though the shumer agid is very tasty? It's a regular shumer. Or should I say no? Even though the shumer agid is not an isa deraisa, it's only asur otu gid anasha. Gid anasha itself doesn't asur b'naisin tam. But the Shumer HaGid does have tam, so the Shumer HaGid will be machomer than the Gid itself. So that's the accepted opinion in Yerideya. That's how we paskin. The Gid Anoshe does not ask the Benesina's tam, and Gid Menesna, but the Shumer HaGid does ask. Remember, it came up halacha lemaisa. This why? Because some yeshiva was going to make a big dinner in some catering hall, and the same day, the war veterans or some or the Boy Scouts or something were going to have a catered dinner in the same place, and they were going to use the same kelim. So it's very hard to kasher when it's ben yomo. It's difficult. It's harder to kasher a kli when it's ben yomo. It's better to wait till after 24 hours if they're not using the kli. So there was a discussion of a possibility of having the Boy Scouts have their meal kosher. They would know the difference. They'll have a kosher meal. So it cost them a few more dollars. It was a caterer who did kosher and non-kosher. So there was a discussion about the possibility of having everything kosher. But they weren't prepared to cut out the gid anoshim. They wanted to serve that part of the leg. I don't know what part of the leg it is. I wouldn't know what it looks like. They insisted that they're not going to remove the gid anoshim. So the gid anoshim wouldn't make the pot straight. Gid anoshim ain't gid nice and top. But the shuman agid, that's two opinions in Taisus. And we paskin in Yeridei that the shuman agid does aser. It's more chomer than the gid anoshim. Even though shuman agid is not an isa derais, it's only aser otu gid anoshim. It's more chomer than the gid anoshim itself. So that's what the Kes Mishneh is bothered with the Rambam. He assumes that the Rambam also holds. The Shuman Agid does ask it. So he says, how can the Rambam, the Raivitz Hasok is still Bimkoy Moimedes, how can the Rambam write that you broil the Korban Pesach with the Gid Anasha? Fine, the Gid Anasha doesn't make trafes. If they broil it, you'll cut out the Gid Anasha. But the Shuman Agid makes trafe. So that everybody's Korban Pesach will be trafe. So the Kesem Mishnah has a Chiddush as an answer. He says, if you look in the Gemara there in Perek Yid Anasha, the Gemara says, Shuman Agid is Mutam and HaTorah. And it doesn't say it's awesome in the Rabbanon. The Loshon HaGemara is Yisrael Kiddoshim Noagu Bo Issa. The holy Jewish people instituted a minig that they don't eat the Shuman Agid. So the Kesem Mishnah says, the answer to the Raivitz HaSog and the Rambam is, the Shuman Agid is not only not awesome in HaTorah, it's not even awesome in the Rabbanon. It's only awesome in Tam Minig. So here you have a conflict between a minig and a real din. On the one hand, you have a real din, Rosh al krov al kirboin. You have to broil the Korban Pesach intact. Shouldn't slice it in advance. And on the other hand, you have a problem, but there's a minig not to eat Shuman Agid. So if you're going to broil it intact, so everybody's going to be eating Shuman Agid. So the Kes Mishnah says, the Rambam's opinion is that every single year on Korban Pesach, when the came time to Korban Pesach, all the Jews violated the minig of eating Shuman Agid, because you have no brera. Whenever there's a conflict between a minig and a real din, then the din takes precedence over the minig. All year long, 353 days of the year, the Jewish people have a minig not to eat Shuman Agid. And once a year, on Pesach night, everybody eats Shuman Agid, because when you broil the Korban Pesach, you broil it with the Gid Anasha, with the Shuman Agid. And then after you cut out the Gid Anasha, so you don't need to get on Asha, but everybody's eating the flesh that has the tam of the Shuman Agid in it. So the Kes Mishnah says you got no choice, according to the Rambam.
Even if it was listened to one of the Raisa, wouldn't it be an Asa of Al-Paisa because of Al-Kram Al-Kibur? Al-Kram Al-Kibur is the Asa, so maybe Asa of Al-Paisa. I mean, there's no other choice.
No, the chutei chelev and the chutei dam you do remove, because otherwise it's going to asa the whole korban. So when the Rambam says you have to remove whatever will make treif, so why doesn't the Raivit is masik? You should have said you remove the gid anosha. So the gid anosha, the Kes Mishnah gives an easy answer. It doesn't asa, and the gid menais and tam. So you may as well remove it afterwards. There's no rush to remove it before. But the shuman agid, that's the problem. So he answers, the Prima Gaon quotes this Kesa Mishnah, in Yeridei, they're not going to bring a shtickle Torah. But the Prima Gaon quotes this Kesef Mishnah, you should know that Shuman Agid is only Asa Mitam Minig, and the Mele, it's more Kal than an Issa Derabban. They resume their Issa Derabban, and an Issa Mitam Minig.
If it was Derabban, couldn't
we
say that they weren't
worried
if he goes there and couldn't
test it? Maybe no. How did the Rambam know? Yeah, maybe. But the Kes Mishnah goes his route. He's medayik the Loshon HaGemara. The Gemara's Loshon is, Yisrael Kiddoshim Nagabo Issa. So he thinks that implies that it's not even an Issa Rabbah. He thinks that implies it's only Asa Mitam Minig.
According to that Kes Mishnah, could they actually eat the Gid at the Seder?
Probably not. The Shuman Agid Mitam Minig, you're not allowed to eat it. But the Tam Kiker that they did eat. The rest of the flesh they did eat. Shuman Agid, they probably did not eat.
Why would you have to remove the chute dam before you
boil it?
And there's no the dam's not gonna be.
If you salt meat that only has blood in the capillaries, if you salt or you broil meat, so the salting and the broiling remove the dam in the capillaries. But the salting or the broiling does not succeed in removing the dam in the arteries or the veins.
Why can't you remove the arteries afterwards? The boiling's not gonna, the dam's not gonna ask the whole thing.
No, it'll be mavliya the dam in the flesh. If you broil meat with dam in it, then it does become a treif.
That's considered dam of
the Yeah. That's gonna be dam shepirish, a lasa. Yeah. The Mishnah has a machlekes hatanaim where the gid anash is only asa b'achila or asa b'ano as well. Machlekes of Shimon and the Chachamim. So there's a shverer Rambam. The Rambam paskin that it's muta b'ano. So the oleis based on the calculation that the Gemara makes, it should have come out that it should be asa b'ano. So there's a lot of discussion on that Rambam. Every year someone prints a shtikel Torah to try to be miyashu of the Rambam. How did the Rambam come to that conclusion that the gid anash is muta b'ano? The Gemara made it dependent on another topic. Because the Beis Yosef writes in Yeridaya that since the Rambam is a problematic Rambam, based on the simple reading, based on the calculation, really should come out to get anosh, it should be asabano. So maybe we should really be machmer against the Rambam. And befrat, that in the Zohar it says like that. In the Zohar it says that get anosh is asabano. So maybe the Zohar should carry some weight over here. So the Bach has a famous comment on that Beis Yosef. He said, who is the author of the Zohar? Reb Shimon. He's in the Mishnah. The Mishnah quoted Reb Shimon. We know that Reb Shimon says that the Gid Anash is Osman. Just because he wrote the Zohar also, so his opinion is quoted there too. It's twice the same Tana, Reb Shimon. It doesn't make it more serious than the quote in the Mishnah. We know Reb Shimon said it's Osman. We outvoted him. The Rambam outvoted Reb Shimon. So he outvotes the Zohar also. Doesn't make it any worse. Mishnah and Chulin has a machlekes hatanan per gid anosha, but the gid anosha applies to non-kosher animals. Let's say you have a pig, you have an elephant, you have a horse. So is there a prohibition of eating gid anosha? So what's the machlekes? So the Gemara explains, the Mishnah explains a little bit. Mishnah explains briefly what's the machlekes hatanan. So sound, the Mishnah says the machlekes hatanan is a historical machlekes. When was the prohibition of gid anosha given? Was it given to Bnei Yankif, as it says over here? Ken liyochu bnei Yisrael gid anosha. The children of Yankif Avinu. How do you translate? Ken liyochu bnei Yisrael. The children of Yankif Avinu don't eat the gid anosha. So kodem matan Torah, they were allowed to eat elephants and horses and pigs. So if they refrained from gid anosha, so then it should apply to non-kosher animals as well. What are you going to say? That later when the Torah was given, so all of a sudden Gid Anosha no longer applies to the behemoth tomato? No. If originally it was given Kodem Atan Torah, and the laws of kosher animals were not yet instituted, weren't given yet, so it should apply to non-kosher animals. Or should I assume, no, that this Pasuk, Akein Liyochu B'nei Yisrael's Gid Anosha, means the Jewish nation does need Gid Anosha. Doesn't mean the children of Yankov Avinu. B'nei Yisrael doesn't mean the children of Israel. The children of Yankov Avinu means the Jewish nation does need Gid Anosha. The mitzvah was given at Maimon Har Sinai, Matan Torah. It wasn't given Kodem Matan Torah. Kodem Matan Torah, there was no din of Gid Anosha. And when the mitzvah was given not to eat Gid Anosha, it was given together with all the other laws of kashrus. So it's understood that the mitzvah of Gid Anosha only applies to kosher animals, doesn't apply to non-kosher. Non-kosher animals can't eat the whole animal. You can't eat any part of the animal. In kosher animals, you're allowed to eat the rest of the flesh of the animal, with the exception of the Gid Anosha. So that's the simple shot in the Machlokes HaTanoim. Whether this pasuk is Shelo Bimkomo, or the pasuk is Bimkomo. Akein Liyochu B'nei Yisrael Gid Anosha. Is that pasuk Shelo Bimkomo? So why is it Nichtav Kan? Why isn't it written after Matan Torah? That we should know what the background, we should know the reason for the mitzvah, to remember the story. Well, no, the pasuk is written Bimkomo. That's when Gid Anosha was given. The Rambam does not agree with Tosfos. The Rambam says, of course, the mitzvah of Gid Anosha was given to Bnei Yaakov. The Rambam has a Medrash Rabbah like that, the Bereishis Rabbah, that he quotes in Hilchas Melochim. The Rambam writes that the Adam Rishon was commanded on six mitzvahs. He wasn't given the din of Evim and Achai, the Gemara says, because he was not allowed to eat meat. He had to be a vegetarian. And after the Mabul, when Noach was permitted to eat meat, so then Noach was given the prohibition not to eat Evim and Achai. So that's why it's called Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. Until the days of Noach, there were only Sheish Mitzvahs. The Zorgil, Arayis, and so on. But the Giron, but Eva Menachai didn't exist because there was a Hirashah. They weren't allowed to eat any meat at all. And after the Mabul, they were allowed to eat meat, then it became seven mitzvahs. So the Rambam says that's the way the world was running. There were six mitzvahs. Then after the days of the Mabul, there were seven mitzvahs B'nei Noach. That's the way the world was going until the days of Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu was quoting a Medrash Rabbah like that. Avraham Avinu was given an additional mitzvah of Bris Milo. Yitzchak was not given an obligation to be Mafrish Meiser, but is given an opportunity to be Mafrish Meiser. Where does it say that? The Pasuk says that Yitzchak planted in Chevel Aza. It was on his way to go to Mitzrayim. Yisrael Yitzchak Baritza Yimtza Me'er She'arim by Baruchayu Hashem. What does it mean? By Yimtza Me'er She'arim, 100 times as much as he thought was going to grow, grew. Even though it wasn't really fully Eretz Yisrael, it was Chevel Aza, and it was a Shnas Batzores, but still, he was blessed, and it grew 100 times as much as he expected. Why was he making a calculation how much is going to grow? So Rashi quotes in the Medrash, he made an Omed Lemaisris. He was trying to guess how much Maisa he's going to give. So you see, the Medrash understands that Yitzchak Avinu was Hifrish Maisris, so that's what the Rambam writes. Yitzchak was given opportunity to be Mafrish Maisa. He wasn't Nischayev to be Mafrish Maisa, but he was given the opportunity. Stam, if I'll buy 10 copies of a Rambam and I'll be Mafrish Maisa and give it to the lady, that's not called Maisa. But Yitzchak was given the opportunity. And Yaakov Avinu was given Giron Asher. That's the Medrash that the Rambam quotes. What is the Medrash driving at? Why does the Medrash want to have it that Avraham Avinu was given an additional mitzvah, Yitzchak was given an additional mitzvah, Yaakov was given an additional mitzvah? So I remember Rav Soloveitchik suggested, because you read in the Chumash that there's a bris, the Zachate is b'si Yaakov, the Afra is b'si Yitzchak, the Afra is b'si Avraham Eskra. And so many times it's repeated in the Chumash, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a bris with Avraham, and he made another bris with Yitzchak, made another bris with Yaakov. What do you mean a bris? A bris means that he endowed Avraham Avinu with Kedushas Yisrael. And he gave Yitzchak a Kedushas Yisrael. What do you have to give Yitzchak a Kedushas Yisrael? He already had, his father was Jewish. So the answer is, Avraham Avinu only had a partial Kedushas Yisrael, to the extent, Kedushonu b'mitzvah Yisrael Yivonu, to the extent that you have additional mitzvahs, to that extent you have a Kedushas Yisrael. So Avraham Avinu only had a partial Kedushas Yisrael. He only had one mitzvah, the mitzvah of Milo. Yitzchak was given an additional, a deeper degree of Kedushas Yisrael. V'harai, he was given an additional mitzvah. And Yankov, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a bris with Yankov, means he gave Yankov Avinu a deeper degree of Kedushas Yisrael because he was given an additional mitzvah of Giron Asher. So that's apparently what the Medrash is, perhaps, not apparently, perhaps that's what the Medrash is driving at. Each one of the others had his own bris because each one was given an additional mitzvah. Does it mean that women are on a lower level of Kedushas Yisrael than men? Because the women don't have as many mitzvahs as the men. Kohanim have more Kedusha than Yisraelim. That is true. We assume there's such a concept as Kedushas Levi. Levi Yitzchak Berditcheva wrote a sefer that's entitled Kedushas Levi. So we assume that such a concept exists. The Meshe Chochma writes there's no such thing. There ain't no such thing. He was a kohen, so he can wipe off all the levim. Meshe Chochma Meir Simcha is a kohen. So he said no such thing as Kedushas Levi. There's Shevet Levi. No such thing as Kedushas Levi. But it's usually assumed not like that. The Meshe Chochma. It's usually assumed there is Kedushas Leviya. And they're Shevet Levi. They're two different things. There is Kedushas Levi. Levim have certain mitzvahs that don't apply. They have a mitzvah Shmiras HaMikdash and the Shiras HaLevim and the Beis HaMikdash. They have certain mitzvahs that don't apply to the Yisraelim. And the rest of the Yisraelim have a lower level of Kedushas. So it doesn't mean that women have a lower level of Kedushas than the men, because the women don't have the same mitzvahs as the men. So that's what the Rav Moshe Feinstein writes in his Tshuvas. HaKadosh Baruch Hu declared, V'atem tiyu lim amlechas kohanim, goy kodosh. So the Pasuk introduces Kosama Lebes Yanka Basagid Levin Aesol. She tells us to the men and the women, everybody has the same level of Kedusha. What it means is, you see, when a woman, our practice is like the Rabbeinu Tam, Ashkenazim, follow the Rabbeinu Tam. You can't say our practice. Not everybody has to be an Ashkenazim. Ashkenazim, follow the Rabbeinu Tam, that a woman who volunteers to shake a lulav says a bracha, Shekedeshona b'mitzvah Yisov b'tzivon, Ayislach Mamash Sheker. The answer is no, the women have the same level of Kedushas Yisrael as the men. The only thing is, and the Kedushas Yisrael is mechayiv them in all the mitzvahs, mechayiv them in the mitzvah of tzitzis and lulav and shofar. The only thing is, they have an exemption. If they don't want to, they don't have to volunteer the mitzvah. If a non-Jew volunteers to listen to Tekiyah Shofar, Gezunta Heit, but he can't say a bracha, Rabbeinu Tam is not going to say a non-Jew can say a bracha. It's not true. It's not Kiddushan of a mitzvah of a tzivon. But if a woman wants to volunteer to fulfill a mitzvah Shazman Grama, it doesn't mean that she doesn't have a Kedushas Yisrael with respect to the mitzvah. It's like a Nochri with respect to the mitzvah Shazman Grama. The Rambam seems to say that a difference between an Eved Kenani and an Isha. Eved Kenani is chayv in mitzvahs keisha, but in the mitzvahs that Eved Kenani is pata from, he's considered like a Nochri. He doesn't have a Kedush, he doesn't have a full Kedushas Yisrael. Let's say, according to Rabbi Natam, that a woman who wants to volunteer to shake a lulav can say a bracha. What if an Eved Kenani wants to volunteer to shake a lulav? So Rav Soloveitchik pointed out, based on the Rambam, the Eved Kenani will not be able to say a bracha. It's not true. It's not Kiddushanu b'mitzvos of Tzivon or Netilas Lulav. With respect to Netilas Lulav, he does not have a Kedushas Yisrael. The women have a full Kedushas Yisrael. It just happens that no one holds like this, because the Rambam holds that the women don't say a bracha either. And Tosfos writes that an Eved Kenani has a full Kedushas Yisrael. Tosfos in Gittin, later on Daf Mem, I think. Tosfos writes that just like an Isha can volunteer and say a bracha, so an Eved Kenani also, Eved Kenani has a full Kedushas Yisrael. So Rabbi was bringing out, if we would have held like the Rambam seems to make a major split between Lola and Isha. He say the women, the Eved Kenani is chayv in the same mitzvah as Isha, Lola and Isha, the Gzereshah, but it's not the same. Eved Kenani is Dina Ka'akum b'negiyah to Lulav and Shofar. And the Isha is Dina Kisro, except she's Mechuyev and she has a Ptur. The Svardim, the Chachmi Svara, don't say a bracha, women don't say a bracha on Zman Grama, not because it's not true. No, it is true. It is Kiddushanu b'mitzvos of Tzivon, it is true. But how can she say a bracha? There's something missing over here. Kiddushanu b'mitzvos of Tzivon uftaranu. So it's only here for this story. So that's why they don't say the bracha. That's the Rambam quotes this medrash that the mitzvah of Gidon Osher was given to Yankov Abano. That's why Yankov had a deeper degree of Kedushas Yisrael than Yitzchok, and Yitzchok had more Kedushas Yisrael than Avraham Avinu. Then the Rambam continues to quote the medrash, because Mishnah says he doesn't know what this is alluding to. The medrash says that Amram was a Navi, and he was given certain mitzvahs in Eretz Mitzrayim. And then later on, Moshe Rabbeinu was given Achodesh Zalachem, then Moshe Rabbeinu gave the rest of all of the mitzvahs. So the Rambam does not understand the Mishnah like this. The Mishnah has a Machlekes Hatanah and Per Gidon Osher, where the Gidon Osher is Noig B'Behemet Tmei or not. So the simple reading of the Mishnah, the way Tosfos reads it is, it's a machlekes whether the mitzvah of Gidon Osher was given only after Matan Torah, or was given in the days of Yaakov Avinu. It was given in the days of Yaakov Avinu, it applied equally to kosher and to non-kosher animals, because there was no prohibition yet against eating non-kosher animals. But if the mitzvah of Gidon Osher didn't begin to be observed until after, it wasn't given until after Mamet Hasina, so it only applies to kosher animals, doesn't apply to non-kosher animals. But the Rambam holds that that's not true. Gidon Osher was given right away in the days of Yaakov Avinu, so what's the machlekes hatanoim? So the Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnayis in Per Gidon Osher has a whole essay to explain what the Machlekes is. He says, no, certainly the mitzvah Gidon Osher was given to Yaakov Avinu. The question is, why do we today continue to observe the mitzvah Gidon Osher? Is it because of the tzibur that was given to Yaakov Avinu, or is it because it was repeated at Har Sinai? So if it's because of the tzibur that was given to Yaakov Avinu at that time, there were no laws of kosher animals and non-kosher animals. There were laws. Noach only brought karbonis from the kosher animals, because he was told they are kosher animals. He was told to bring shiva from the behemah tohira. And after the mabul was over, he only brought karbonis from the behemah satoris. So he knew that there's such a concept as kosher animals, but it wasn't relevant for kashrus, for eating it. It was mutter for him to eat everything. So Yankov Bonner were also allowed to eat chazer, koidem atin Torah. So true, in the days of Yankov Avinu, Gidon Osher was given and applied to non-kosher animals as well. But if we today observe the mitzvah of Gidon Osher, not because it was given to Yankov Avinu, but rather because it was repeated at Har Sinai, so what Yankov Avinu was given was Hayruah Shor. And when it was repeated at Har Sinai, the mitzvah of Gidon Osher, so then the Svara dictates that it only applies to the kosher animals, doesn't apply to the non-kosher animals. So the Rambam emphasizes this, and he says this is a major principle of faith in our religion, that we're only obligated to observe mitzvahs today because they were given by Moshe Rabbeinu. Any other prophet who was given any other mitzvah, by definition, is only going to be a Hayru Ashur. The Rambam says, why do we today continue to observe the mitzvah of Bris Milah? Not because it was given to Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu was a Navi like all the other Navim. The Rambam in the listing of the 13 Ikori HaEmunah has two different Ikori. One Ikor, we believe in Nevuah, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does give prophecy to people. He did give prophecy to people. And number two, then the Nevuah Moshe Rabbeinu is on a higher Madrega than that of the other prophets. So why is that so important to give grades? Moshe Rabbeinu gets an A+, and Yechezkel HaNavi gets an A-, and someone else is going to get a B? Some rabbis in yeshiva don't know F after A and B. They don't know anything. Some only know A. I know F also. I give sometimes F's, C's, D's. Okay. So we'll be giving grades to all of the Nevi'im. Some of the Moshe Rabbeinu is the greatest. Now he gets the A++. A++. Mazeh? No. So the Rambam explains what he means. Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah. The Gemara says Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah was Bas Bekloria HaMeira. That of the other Nevi'im was Bas Bekloria She'en HaMeira. And what is the significance of that? So the Mekubalim explain, based on the simple reading of the Psukim and Parshas Bahaloyscha, that all of the other prophets get the Nevuah Bahaloyim. They have a dream, and they see a vision, and then they have to interpret what they saw in their own, using their own words. And the Gemara says in Sanhedrin that even if two Nevi'im would be shown the same vision, Ein Shnei Nevi'im Misnabim Misignar Echot. When they interpret the dream, when they say it over, it's not shaykh that two people are going to describe the prophecy exactly the same. If two Nevi'im say exactly word for word the same, there's a siman that someone is a faker over. Either they're both liars, one of them is a liar, because it's impossible. Even if they saw the same vision, they're not going to describe it with exactly the same words. The Nevi'im are shown a vision, and they have to say with their own words what they saw. Moshe Rabbeinu sometimes was shown a vision. When he was given a Hayru HaShoah, he was shown a Mara HaNevuah. The Kedusha Slevi, that Levi Yitzchak Bar Tishva writes, that sometimes Moshe Rabbeinu, when he got in the Hayru HaShoah, so he was shown a Chazon, a Halom, Bas Beklori She'en Emir, and he said in his own words what he saw. But when he was given a Din L'Dairus, when he was given a Din, one of the Taryag Mitzvah Satera that's going to be binding throughout all of future generations, then the Pasuk says, Mahaloscha Pe'a Pe'a Daba Bo, Mara Velo Bechidus. He was given direct dictation. HaKadosh Baruch Hu dictated word for word. So that's what the Rambam is emphasizing over here in the Pirush HaMishnayos and Perek Yid HaNoshe, that we today observe the mitzvah of Milah, not because it was given to Avraham Avinu. Whatever, Avraham Avinu was great a Novi, and Yaakov Avinu was great a Novi as they were, but they were only, other than Avinu, were only given Nevuah. Nevuah by definition means Hayru HaShoah. And the only Novi, when the Rambam says, as a separate Iker and Numuna, that Nevuah Moshe Rabbeinu is on a higher level, it doesn't mean he's giving him a grade, an A+. It means Al Pidin, the Nevuah Moshe Rabbeinu is considered Torah. The Nevuah Shar Nevi'im is considered Nevuah Hayru HaShoah. And the Nevuah Moshe Rabbeinu that's binding throughout all the future generations, that has the level of Torah. And that was direct dictation. So that's what the Rambam says, that we are only mechuyev to observe mitzvahs that were given to Moshe Rabbeinu, Bas Bekloria HaMeira, that was direct dictation. Pasuk describes the way Yankov finally meets up with Esav, and everybody's chamfening the Russia. He's afraid he's going to kill him. Everybody's korea, mishtachve, everybody's bowing and showing such kavod. There was only one individual who didn't bow, that was Binyamin, because he wasn't born yet. So the Medrash singles him out, that the reason, the Medrash has two suggestions. Why is it that the Mizbech is bani b'chelko shel Binyamin? The one reason that's given us, he was the only one of the Shvatim who didn't bow down to Esav. The other suggestion given by the Medrash is that he was the only one who was born in Eretz Yisrael. All the other Shvatim were born in Golus, Chutzalar. Could be that the two are interconnected. A Jew is born in Eretz Yisrael, Zasabra, and they have Chutzpah. They're not going to bow down in front of Agoy. They're supposed to have Chutzpah. Supposed to have a sense of atzmaut, independence. I'm going to bow down for the goy. And a Jew from the Golus is supposed to live like a Golus Jew. Supposed to bow down to the goy. You have to be afraid. You have to chamfer the Rishayim b'olam hazeh, because there's a Safik Sakana, whatever the Hesber is, that's what it says in the Medrash. That the reason why the Mizbech was Nivne, the Chalka Shal Binyamin, because he was the only one, two reasons given by the Medrash. One reason, because he was the only one of the Shvatim who was born in Eretz Yisrael, and he was the only one who didn't bow down to Esav. Pasuk continues to say when Yaakov Avinu entered Eretz Yisrael already, he came to the city Shechem and he purchased Veikenes Chelkas Hasad. He purchased a plot there in Eretz Yisrael, built a mizbeach, and he brought karbanos. So the pasuk says, in addition, at that occasion, Vayichan es pnei ha'ir. So the Gemara, the Pasha Pshad Vayichan Miloshen Chanoya, that's how the Targum Mukhlis writes. Gushro lekovel apikarta. Shro means lachanos. He had a whole tribe of all of his children. So his machane, the machane of Yaakov Avinu, was on the outskirts of the city Shechem. But the Gemara in Masechah Shabbos and Perek Banu Madlikin and Daf Lamed Gimel has an additional level of interpretation, that Vayichan Loshen Chayin, that he added Chayin to the city. He beautified the city. In what way? So the Gemara has Rab, Shmuel, and Rabbi Yochanan. Each one has a different suggestion. But they had three different traditions, exactly what he did. So one suggestion is that he instituted Matbea Tiken Lohem. He instituted a monetary system. That they didn't realize on their own how important it is. They always used to just do barter. He has a bushel of grain, and he has a bushel of potatoes, and they would barter. He has behemoths, and he has tomatoes. Everything would be barter. And he made life easier by instituting matbeya. Some sociologists write that the institution of money is an evil of mankind. That if you would have shanim kitikunam, if you would have people would be good, we would go back to the system of barter, and we wouldn't need any money. Money is just a way to amass wealth and to have other people be poor and some people be rich. This was not the attitude of Chazal. The Chazanish writes that we have a din in the Torah that can only be fulfilled with kesef. Shavu kesef is not acceptable. The Gemara says that kol ha-targulu shavu kesef is din ke-kesef, with three exceptions to the rule. One is pidyon ma'aseh sheni, and that's a din d'oraisa, v'tzarta kesef, kesef sheyesh alav tzura. And one is machzes ha-shekel. Moshe Feinstein writes that he thinks that's also a din d'oraisa, and machzes ha-shekel can only be fulfilled with kesef, not with shavu kesef. And the third din is clearly only a din derabbanan. When you come to be oila regel on Pesach Shavuos Sukkos and you purchase an oila sriya, so you should purchase it dafke with cash, not with shavu kesef. So Rashi on Bchoris on Daf Nun Aleph quotes from Yerushalmi, that's only a takana derabbanan. That's not a din derais. But the Chazanish says, from the fact that you have two halachas, the pidyon ma'aseh sheni and the machzes ha-shekel, that can only be fulfilled with kesef, you see that this is part of the ideal society, that an ideal Torah society is supposed to have a matbeah, is supposed to have a monetary system. And there's such a Gemara in Pesachim also. The Gemara talks about the seven things that Hashem created before He created the world, and what's important for the world to function. So the Gemara says over there, matbeah was very important, that monetary system was introduced, and it enhances society. It's not considered, like those sociologists say, that it's an evil that the human beings introduced into the world. The Jewish attitude that it's not an evil at all. There's no aver in being rich either. That used to be a major discrepancy between Judaism and Christianity. But Christianity, they used to preach that it's a mitzvah to be poor. We never had a mitzvah to be poor. We never had a mitzvah to be rich, but we never had a mitzvah to be poor. I think now the Christians are giving up that mitzvah. They have all galochim are dipping their fingers into the Pushkin, and they no longer observe that mitzvah. They somehow reinterpret it. No, they keep on printing. Every year they print a newspaper. It is a mitzvah, not a mitzvah. By us, there was never a pilpul, but it is a mitzvah. An oath of poverty. They still have some of the galochim have to take an oath of poverty. They have to take an oath of celibacy. They want to know. They were trying to figure out how come the galochim came to Dr. Lane years ago. They're trying to figure out how come here in the yeshiva we go to university and we learn for smicha at the same time. How come by them, whoever goes to university is out of the question? They're not going to go to the into the clergy. They're very simple reasons. First of all, we don't have to take an oath of poverty, and some of them do. Secondly, we don't have to take an oath of celibacy. Thirdly, there's a difference between the true religion and the false religion. But they didn't want to hear any of these three answers. So that's why they kept on visiting the yeshiva, and they kept on asking, what's the secret? What's the secret? So we're meeting with them, and Dr. Lim has been it. They don't want to accept the real answers. So we're giving other answers. So one opinion in the Gemara is that Vayichanas Pnehu here, that he improved the society, Yaakov Avinu improved the society by introducing a monetary system. The other suggestion is that Shvakim Tikkun Lahem, he introduced shopping malls. Instead of shopping for groceries over there, and shopping for clothing over there, and shopping for automobiles over here, they have one shopping mall and they sell everything in the same place. In fact, Shvakim Tikkun Lahem. He said you have to improve your the monetary system and improve the economic system and so on. The third suggestion is Merchatzos Tikkun Lahem. He introduced hygienic institutions that they should take a bath once a year, or a shalosh shagon, whatever, every so often. They didn't have some amachma to take a bath or a shower every day. That atkidei kach, they didn't have in the days of Yaakov Avinu. But he introduced merchatzos tikkun lahem. This is part of the obligation of the Jewish people. We have to work to improve the world. We have to work to preserve Jewish values in the world. We have to work on Yiddishkeit. If no one's going to work on Yiddishkeit, so, if the Jews are not going to work on Yiddishkeit, the guy for sure are not going to work on it. Kama shalilu an atarti. But in addition to working on Jewish causes, we have to join together with the rest of the world and show them how to work on worldly things as well. The percentage of the Jewish population in the world is much less than 1%, and the Jews have gotten Nobel Awards is way more than 1%. It's maybe more than 30%, more than 40%, I think. So the Jews have fulfilled this mitzvah, Yichanes Pnehu Ir, many times over. We have fulfilled our share of contributing to the world. Maybe we're contributing too much to the world. Maybe we should stop contributing so much, and we should start working on our Jewish causes instead of contributing so much in medicine, and in science, and in physics, and in chemistry, and economics, and everything else. But we have, part of our obligation is, it's not that after the Torah was given, Nitin Torah and Nischat Shalach, we only have to work on Jewish causes. No, the Gemara learns that from this pasuk, that the Jews have to contribute to the improvement of society as well. Yichanas Pnehu Ir. And the pasuk tells the story about Shechem fell in love with Dina. He wanted to marry Dina, so the Shimon Velevi said, we can't have our sister intermarry. Jewish people have to marry Jewish. So they said, okay, they were all prepared to convert. So they did a gir shaloi kalocha. The main aspect of geris is that you have to be mekabel all mitzvahs. If you're not mekabel all mitzvahs, so there's no geris. So they didn't accept. They just did the bris milah, and that's all. That's all they did was bris milah. So that's we have people today who think that there is such a thing. If you just go through the pantomime, you just go through the bris milah, even though there's no kabbalas on mitzvahs, there are people who consider themselves Orthodox rabbis who think that that's acceptable. That if a non-Jew performs a bris milah and he says he wants to be Jewish and he jumps into the holy waters, he goes into a mikveh, so he becomes Jewish. So that's a little ridiculous. We assume that that's a gir shalak aloha. The essence of geris is kabbalah sal mitzvahs.
It could be it would have worked if there was also them to do. What other mitzvahs were?
Monotheism. Lios lachol elokim lezar chacharecha. Monotheism. They have to accept. And they had to accept also not to intermarry. Avraham Avinu had a few, in addition to bris milah, he had also lios lachol elokim lezar chacharecha. The Gemara Yevamos understands that a Jew is not allowed to marry a non-Jewish person. Here, all the men in the city Shechem, they all converted in order to be able to marry Jewish girls. If you can marry a Jewish girl, then you can't marry a non-Jewish girl. So they didn't accept that. That was part of the package deal of Bris Milah that Avraham Avinu had. You can't intermarry.
There's some exceptions to it, because I know there's some controversial words in Israel about some organizations that do it to prevent intermarriage from
So we assume that it's not valid. A non-Jew who converts has to accept all mitzvahs. If the non-Jew doesn't accept mitzvahs, so there's no conversion. the Ritva and Yevamis has very elaborate footnotes on the bottom of the page, more so than the other Ritvos. So the one who wrote the footnotes has a whole shtickel Torah. He has a lot of his own shtickel Torah there, much more than he has more to say than the Ritva. So he has a long shtickel Torah that this is the Rambam's opinion that a non-Jew who converts can become Jewish without Kabbalah Sal Mitzvah. So the present chief rabbi, Shlomo Amar, the Sephardic chief rabbi, has a long tshuva in his Shadus and Tshuvas, I think Chelek Kei, he just put out Chelek Vav in the summertime. He says that it's just not so. That's what Rabbi Soloveitchik said also, just not so. That's ridiculous. There never was such an opinion. That's the ABC of what Geiris is all about. You have to have Kabbalah Sal Mitzvahs. The Gemara talks about a Jew who converted in a non-Jewish society. He was never told about Avodah Zarah. He never heard about Avodah Zarah. He was told about Kashrus, Shabbos, or some other mitzvah. So he accepted upon himself whatever comes his way, whatever is part of the Jewish religion, he accepts. Okay, so even if that's ridiculous to be Mekabel Ager without telling him about Avodah Zarah. Well, we're Mekabel Ager today, so we ask him, what religion did you believe in before? And if they say that they were Christians, we ask them, do you still believe in the Trinity? Do you believe in monotheism? We have to ask, do you believe in the 13 principles of faith? And if they don't give the right answers, then we're not going to accept them. We have to be mekabel everything. The Gemara talks about a Ger Shen Izgar Ben Ha'umas. There was a Jewish bezin, and they never told him about Avodah Zarah. So the Ger is Avodah Zarah B'shogi. Okay. But there has to still be a Kabbalah Sal Mitzvah. He has to know that becoming Jewish requires of him something much more than before. Not just he becomes a member of the Jewish nation. That's not enough to become a member of the Jewish nation. The reverse is also not enough. Let's say Rabbi Gorin published a tshuva about this many years ago. There was a German non-Jew who wanted to convert, but he didn't want to join the Jewish nation. He wanted to join the Jewish faith and to remain a member of the German nationality. So Rabbi Gorin said, we cannot accept you, because in the Sefer Rus, it describes the conversion of Rus HaMoavia. So she says, Am Echami Velakaich Elokai. I'm joining the Jewish nation. I'm joining the Jewish religion. I'm accepting the din of not going chutz l'trum. I'm accepting the laws of the yichud. She's accepting Mrs. Bezin. She's accepting all the mitzvahs. She's accepting Am Echami. She's accepting to become a member of the Jewish people. She accepts the Jewish, the whole Jewish religion. So you can't have one without the other. You can't convert without becoming a member of the Jewish nation. But just becoming a member of the Jewish nation without accepting mitzvahs is also not meaningful. The proper thing is that we should tell the ger all of the... You don't have to tell the ger about Shiloh HaKan. You're probably not going to bump into a Kan Sipa in this Gilgal. So you don't have to tell him every single mitzvah. You can get, usually the minhag is that you repeat the Kabbalah Sal Mitzvahs when the ger is in the mikveh. You don't have to run through all the 613 mitzvahs when he's in the mikveh. He can catch pneumonia. He's in the mikveh to his neck. So you review some of the basic mitzvahs. Shabbos, Kashrus, Taras HaMishpachas, they have to know. You have to review everything, but you have to have a Kabbalah Sal Mitzvahs. If there's no Kabbalah Sal Mitzvahs, there's no gerus. So that was the story in Parshas Vayishlach. There was a ger shalek halacha, so that was meaningless. Yeah, but just because the gear was shalek halacha, that's no cause for them. Why did Shimon Velevi wipe out the whole city? Just because a gear, a non-Jew, attempted to convert and he didn't succeed, so he's not chayiv misa. So that's a famous discussion, the Rambam and the Ramban. The Ramban Achumish quotes the Rambam, and he disagrees with the Rambam. The Rambam says that they were chayiv misa because they violated dinim. What's dinim? One of the seven mitzvahs of Bnei Noach is there are six mitzvahs of Bnei Noach. Then dinim is they're obligated to establish bati dinim b'chol ir v'ir, at least b'chol plach of plach in every area and every region, and the bati dinim are supposed to maintain law and order. So here they saw that Shechem Ben Hamor had attacked Dina, and everybody knew about it. They let him get away with it because his father was the mayor of the city, because his father was a big politician. So the Rambam says because they were all negligent and they didn't fulfill the mitzvah of dinim, that the Bezdin should maintain law and order. So that's how they were all chayvis. So the Ramban Achumish disagrees with the Rambam. He says, for not fulfilling the mitzvah saseh of dinim, you don't get the punishment of misa. If you eat Eiv Ben Achai, if you steal, gezel, if you violate Gilei Arayis, you have to violate an Aveira. But if you don't fulfill the mitzvahs asay, the seven mitzvahs ben enach, some of them are mitzvahs asay, most of them are mitzvahs lois asay. So for not fulfilling a mitzvah asay, you don't deserve an einish misam. The Rambam writes explicitly that yes, the Rambam's opinion is that not only are the Jewish people obligated to observe milah, the Gemara says b'nei keturah. Avraham Avinu married keturah, she had a few sons. So the b'nei keturah had to have a bris milah. So there's machlekes Rashi and the Rambam what that means. So Rashi and the Gemara learns those, how many children were the b'nei keturah? Eight? Forgot already. I think keturah had eight children. So those eight children, they were sons of Avraham Avinu. Even though they weren't Jewish, Avraham Avinu was obligated to be mal them. But their descendants are not children of Avraham Avinu. So the Dora is the B'nai Keturah not Mechuyev to observe Mila. The Rambam understands that. So the Rambam understands the B'nai Keturah, the descendants from Keturah throughout all the generations, Zara Yamazah, are all Mechuyev to observe Bris Mila. The Rambam says, who are they? We don't know who are the descendants from B'nai Keturah. They got mixed in with the other Arabs. So the Rambam says, Sofik the Rais of the Chumra. All the Arabs are Mechuyev to observe Bris Mila, Misofik. Maybe they're the lucky winners. Maybe they're from the B'nai Keturah. But if they won't observe Bris Mila, we won't give them the death penalty because it's only a Sofik. You should have said, because it's only a mitzvah sese. You only give an einish misa if you violate a loy sese. So that's the Rambam l'shitosa. The Rambam thinks that not only when a non-Jew violates a loy sese, is he chayim misa, even when he fails to fulfill a mitzvah sese, like dinama, like mila, also chayim misa.
Doesn't the Rambam say that in halacha that a guy that's over shem mitzvah he has a reed with sight, and he itself is not shem mitzvah enough, so why should he have a reed with sight?
They're not the regular Bnei Noach are not Mechuyev and Mila, but the Bnei Keturah are. Still, I'm all that's a chiyuv. He says if we would know who really is Bnei Keturah, if it would be Avadai, then whoever from the Bnei Keturah is not Mal himself would be Chayv Nisa. Since it's a Sufik, it's a Taruv, so that's why we don't give Nisa. That's how the Rambam writes. The Rambam does quote, you're right, the Rambam quotes, there are additional prohibitions that apply to the non-Jews, but because they're not officially part of the Sheva Mitzvahs Ben Enoch, so they're not Chayav Misa for them. The Rambam says, Sirus and Hakavas Ilanus, grafting trees is also for non-Jews, all over the world, not only in Eretz Yisrael. And in castrating an animal, is an Issa Deraisa for a non-Jew, so Machlok Satanoim, the Rambam adopts the position that it's also, but he says they're not Chayav Misa for them, because not officially part of the Sheva Mitzvahs Ben Enoch. But the Rambam somehow assumes that Bris Milah for the B'nai Keturah is on the higher level, not on the lower level. That if you really would know who the B'nai Keturah are, there would be Chayav Misa. Shagas Aryeh has a tshuva as if someone asked him a shayla. Shagas Aryeh has a tshuva on the Machlekes Rashi and the Rambam. Who's right? So he says, Rashi's right. He says, B'nai Keturah today are not Chayav and Bris Milah. What do you mean? The B'nai Keturah have more Kedusha than the rest of the guy. They're all Nachrim. They're all B'nai Noach. By Jews, there's a higher level of Kedusha. We have over and above Sheva Mitzvahs Ben Enoch. But the B'nai Keturah today, Avraham Avinu was mechuyev to be mal his children, even though those B'nai Keturah were not Jewish. Okay? That's a chiyuv on the father. But B'zman Hazeh, the B'nai Keturah, the descendants from B'nai Keturah, none of them are Jewish. Why should they be mechuyev to be mal? He doesn't accept that wrong.
Rabbi
Yishmael,
Chayav Mila?
Are the Jewish people Chayav Mila?
B'nai
Yishmael. I don't think so. The Rambam only quotes B'nai Keturah Chayav Mila, not the B'nai Yishmael.
What's the difference?
I don't know. It's a good question. Why should it only be B'nai Keturah? That's the Shach Zari's Taina. It doesn't make sense that B'nai Keturah today should be Chayav. Yeah.
Is it looking at you to give your dog to
The Gemara says in Bab Mitzia that it is lifnida. Yes. The Gemara says it's not permissible. Tzadik on the base in Bab Mitzia. Correct. So this is a famous machlekes, the Rambam and the Ramban. How are you supposed to understand why did the Shimon Velevi, why did they wipe out the whole city? The Rambam says because all of the people in the city stood by idly and they didn't observe the mitzvah of Dinim. They knew that Shechem attacked this Dina, and they didn't do anything about it. So they deserved an onesh misa for not fulfilling the mitzvah essay of Hamadas Bati Din. And the Ramban says, no, that's not why. They knew that they violated Avodah Zarah Gilei Reish V'chazam. They violated everything. Everybody was Chayav Misa for various Avodah, not because of Dinim, for other Dinim. This is where the Ramban has that famous line, that the Dinim include all of the Chof Talad Avos Nezikin. that the non-Jews have to observe all the chavtal rabbis and sikkim. Part of that statement is not accurate because included in the 24, the Mishnah Baba Kama says there are arbovis and sikkim. The Gemara has a brisa and dalanam and beis, heyam and beis. That there are yud gimel rabbis and sikkim. Then there's another brisa, there are chavtal rabbis and sikkim. So the chavtal rabbis and sikkim include oynes and mefata moitzi shemer, that's knas. That's a beferishi Gemara in Sanhedrin that b'nei noyach are not mukhiv in knas. They're only mukhiv to observe mam and not mukhiv to pay knas. So that part of the Ramban is a little bit an exaggeration, but the Ramah has a tshuva where he adopts this whole Ramban. He says that the Bnei Noach are mechuyav to observe all the chavtal rabbis and zikin, everything that says in Chosh Mishpat. Describes the death of Rachel, and she's buried in Kever Rachel. Later in Chumash, when Yaakov Avinu is about to die, so in Parshas Vayechi, so he calls his son Yosef to come on his deathbed, and he gives him instructions, I want you to bury me in Mitzrayim. And Rashi adds on from the Medrash, don't have any tarumas against me, why? I didn't even bother to take your mother to bury her in a Mubikovadika place. I should have buried her in the Moras Machpelah, I should have buried her somewhere else. Why in Kever Rachel? So he says, I did it al pi hadibur. Why was al pi hadibur? Because at the time of Golus, after the Churban Bais Rishon, Bnei Yisrael will be traveling to Bavel on the highway, leaving Eretz Yisrael. So they'll pass by Kever Rachel, them is followed there on the way. So that was the Ribbono Shel Olam wanted it like that. So that's what he says. Rashi quotes the Medrash like that later in Parshas Vayechi. That the Yaakov Avinu buries Rachel not in a Bekovedikas, but on the highway. B'derech Efrosa hi beis locham. The Gemara talks about the Moras HaMachpelah being a makom yuchud l'tfilah. When Moshe Rabbeinu sent the Meraglim, so what does the Gemara say? That Kolev went to daven by the Moras HaMachpelah to be mispowered there on Kibra Yav, is that he shouldn't fall in with the Eitzer of the other Meraglim. Apparently the Moras HaMachpelah was designated Min HaShamayim as a Mokam Miyuchad L'Tfilah. So that's Kibra Yav is also designated as a Mokam Miyuchad L'Tfilah. That's where Rashi quotes that Medrash. HaKadosh Baruch Hu instructed me to bury a mother Alei Maderech on the highway, that it should be a Mokam Miyuchad L'Tfilah when the Jews will be going to the Golas Bavel, they should be mispowered there on the way. There's a strange pasuk that says, where's the pasuk? As Yankov Avinu is coming back to Eretz Yisrael, it says, but Thomas Dvorah Menekes Rivka Vatikova Shom. Who is this? But Thomas, who is Dvorah Menekes Rivka? It's an unknown figure. Thomas Dvorah Menekes Vatikova Metachas Lebeisel Tachas O'Alam Ikvashma Alam Bachus. Apparently they were crying a lot over the death of this old lady, Menekes Rivka. The pasuk says in Parshas Chayisora, when Avraham Avinu sent Eliezer to get a shidduch for Yitzchok, so he came back with Rivka. So it says when they sent Rivka, they sent there's Dvara Menikta. They sent her Menekes. What they sent her Menekes? She was an independent thinker. This little girl, Rivka. They wanted her, the mother and the lover and the mother, they wanted us to stay for a Teshuvat Anari Tana Yamim Awasor, let us stay a year or a couple of months. And she says, no, she's prepared to go marry Yitzchak now. She doesn't want to stay. So she's all by herself. She's prepared to go to Eretz Yisrael to marry Yitzchak, and she takes along her Menekes. That's the whole story, his mother. So apparently, this Menekes must have been the one who had the influence on her. This Dvara Menekes Rivka, Rashi points out there on Parshas Chayisora, Rivka's whole city were all of the Avodah Zarah. Her brother was a gangster, Lavan. They were all of the Avodah Zarah. So how does it come that she was so, how come she was a monotheist? How come it was a good shidduch? So it must have been that she had this Menekes who taught her about monotheism, about proper values, about ethics and morality and so on. Where did she get it from? Where did Dvorah Menekes Rivka get it from? That's what some suggest. The pasuk says, "Hanefesh Hasher Osa Bechoron," that Avraham Avinu was Megayres Anoshim, Misar Megayres Anoshim. They were working hard there in Choron. Then when Avraham Avinu came to Eretz Yisrael, he was working there. So apparently, not everybody came with him. Hanefesh Hasher Osa Bechoron. Many of his converts came with him, but not everybody was on that madrega that they prepared to leave. So apparently, this Dvorah Menekes Rivka was one of those who was influenced. Perhaps she was partially influenced by Avraham Avinu. She wasn't prepared to leave with him to go to Eretz Yisrael, so she stayed behind the Choron. But she was the one who apparently influenced Rivka. So when Rivka went for the Shidduch, so she came along to continue to be Mechazik Rivka. And then Rashi quotes the Medrash about Thomas Devora. Where does Devora come from? She was an old lady. She must have been over 100 years old now. Where does Devora come from? So Rashi quotes the Medrash that when Rivka told Yankov he should leave because Esav Nistachin Lacha Lahargecha, so Rivka tells her son Yaakov, "V'shalachti v'karasi lecha." When I see that the coast is clear, when your brother will no longer be interested in killing you, then I'll send a message. So she sent a message. She sent Devorah Menikta to go notify. Why she sent Devorah? She should have. They didn't have any telephones. Okay, they didn't have any telegrams. She sent a lady 100 years old. She should have sent a young messenger to tell him. So apparently, this Devorah Menekes Rivka had an attachment. She was the one who gave over principles of monotheism to Rivka, and she was a big figure in the home of Yitzchak and Rivka. So Rivka sent her to go to Mechazik Yankov and his family. And then when she died, so the Torah says they were crying. They had a whole avelus. Vayikrishma alom bachus. There was a lot of crying at that time. So she was like a big legendary figure in the family. She was the one who saw to it that the grandmother, talking about the grandchildren, all the Shvatim, the grandchildren of Rivka. So this was the grandmother's Rebbetzin, the grandmother's Rebbe. Then the Rabban Shalom gives a nevuah to Yankov Avinu. He says, "Goyik al goyim yim imeko, malochem mechalotzecha yetzeyu." What does it mean, "Goyik al goyim yim imeko"? He's going to have more children. He had Binyamin, was born afterwards. What goyik al goyim? So Rashi quotes from the Gemara that Binyamin was born afterwards. That's half of the story. And Shevet Yosef was split into two Shvatim, into Menashe v'Ephraim. And that's called goyik al goyim, that every Shevet Echad Ikri Kohol. That's a machlekes hatanoim and the mishnayos in Horias, and that's how the Rambam passes. There's an institution of par halam davar shel tzibur. If the roiv hatzibur violated an isa koris because of a mistaken psak of the Bez Nagadol, so the Bez Nagadol has to bring a korban. So the Rambam passes that Bez Nagadol shel hashevet. Each shevet had its own Bez Nagadol, and if the roiv of any one of the shvatim, not only the Bez Nagadol of Shebi Yerushalayim passes wrong. And the rave of all of Klal Yisrael, Bez Nagadol of any given Shevet, Paskins Lahokil incorrectly, and the rave of that Shevet violates the din, so then also there's a din of Par Halam Davar Shel Tzibur, because Shevet Echad Ikri Kohol, each one of the Shvatim is considered a whole unit of Klal Yisrael. The Gemara has, we were talking the other day, if you are related to me, you're a 25th cousin of mine. If everybody in between is not alive, and we're the only one, so then you're going to yarshim me. So I gave his a mashal, and what if I'm from Shevet Dosh and you're from Shevet Zvulun, two different shvatim? So if everybody died out in between, so then when I die, so it goes all the way back to Asher, then it goes to Zvulun, then it'll go to you. So the Gemara says that's impossible. Gemiri, we have a tradition, the Gemara says in Yeshnachum Gemiri, the Lakola shift to me, so that's impossible. The whole Shevet should be wiped out is impossible. How do you know that we have some? Where does that tradition come from? So the Ravid in his commentary on the Torah's Kohanim, on Chumash Vayikra, on the Sifra, writes that the promise that the Navi said, "Ani Hashem lo shanis ve'atem b'nei Yankov lo chilisim," that's a Malachi, "Atem b'nei Yankov lo chilisim," HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a haftocha that the Jewish people never be wiped out, doesn't only apply to the Klal Yisrael as a whole, it applies to each one of the Shvatim b'miyuchad because Shevet Echad Ikri Kohol. Each shevet is called Klal Yisrael. So we have a tradition in Gemiri, we have a tradition, the Lokol is shifting, so it's impossible, the whole shevet should be wiped out. The Rabbanu Shel Olam, see, on the one hand, the Gemara refers to the Jewish people as Amot Lisor, we're a three-part nation. We have Kahanim, Levim, Israel. Kahanim have different dinim, Levim have different dinim, and all the Israelim have the same din. Yisachar, Zvulun, Binyamin, Asher all have the same din. But on the other hand, that's not the whole story. That's part of the story. We have to have Yud Bei Shvatim. We have to have Yud Bei Shvatim. The Rebbe Shalom wants that's Klal Yisrael Bishleim Musa with Yud Bei Shvatim. The Gemara talks about, in the papers, they're writing a lot, that the scale will soon be tipped, and it's soon going to turn out that more than 50% of the Jewish people will be living in Eretz Yisrael. So will that affect any change in halacha? So they write in the newspapers, I think incorrectly, they write that's going to affect the change in halacha, that the Het HaMechira won't apply anymore, because the whole Het HaMechira is based on the assumption that Shemitah is Zman, that's only the Rabbanan. Why is it only the Rabbanan? Because Shemitah is only the Raisa, when it can possibly lead up to Yovel. And Yovel is a condition, the Gemara says, in the end of Erechen, you have to have Kol Yashveho Aleho. Cross from Dro Boris L'chol Yashveh B'zman Shekol Yashveho Aleho. So what does it mean, Kol Yashveh Aleho? So in the newspapers, the assumption means you have to have the majority of the world Jewish population living in Eretz Yisrael. You look at Gemara in the end of Erechen, around Lamed Beis and Beis, so Gemara seems to say more than that. That's not enough. You have to know who's Shevet Yisachar, who's Shevet Zvulun, and each Shevet should be living in his own area. That's Klal Yisrael Bishleimuso is when you have, it's not enough to have Amat Aliso. It's Amat Aliso, a three-part nation, Kohanim Levim Israel. But it has to be also Yud Bei Shvatim, and each Shevet has to be, you're allowed to intermarry. There's no Averit to intermarry one Shevet to the other. Even a Kohen is allowed to marry Israelis also. Even that intermarriage is permissible. But we have to know who belongs to which Shevet. And the Gemara seems to say, the Kozman, that you don't know who belongs to which Shevet, you don't have the Shvatim clearly delineated, then you don't have Kol Yoshveh HaOlam.
If you're
Shuvos
Maestros,
that
should also be Shuvos Maestros?
The Rabbam writes that Trumas and Maestros Bizman is only the Rabban. So that's the question, why is it only the Rabban? So the Beis HaLevi quotes his son, Rab Chaim, my brilliant son, the Rosh Yeshiva of Alojan, Rab Chaim, that he said the reason why Trumas and Maestros is only the Rabban, because Trumas and Maestros is a function of Shemitah. You have to know, is it the first or the second year, or is it the third year? Trumas and Maestros depends which year of Shemitah it is. And Shemitah is a function of Yovel. And Yovel depends on Kol Yoshveh HaOlam. So if that's correct, if Trumas and Maestros is a function of Shemitah, and Shemitah is a function of Yovel, so then that'll determine that as well. I remember I once visited the Nazir, Rabbi Shea Yosher Kohn's father, Rabbi David HaKohen. He used to live in the same building as Rabbi David Soloveitchik. Rabbi Soloveitchik is still alive. He still lives there in the building. Rabbi David HaKohen used to live in that building. So remember, I came from America, I had cash for Rabbi David Soloveitchik, but I saw on the mailboxes that the Nazir lives in the same house. I figured, what do you have to lose? So it was an interesting experience. We met the Nazir, his yarmulke was over here, and he had all this long hair. He never took hair, but he was a Nazir of his own. His yarmulke was sitting around 6 inches above his head. And so he asked my wife, does she study Gemara? So she says, no. So he starts to ask her, do you know where the Gemara says, Avira Deret Yisrael Machkim? So she says, no, she doesn't study Gemara. So I said to him, I don't know, I don't remember where it says. How's my wife supposed to remember? How am I supposed to know? So he said, Adoni alo, ani lo mamin. He doesn't believe that, I don't remember where. Anyway, so he told me, it's the Gemara in the end of Bava Basra. And the Gemara in the end of Bava Basra has a Shaila. We had the other day, Hamoitza Machaber Olav Harai, whenever there's a Sufik Mamin, so the Mukhsa keeps the Mamin. So the Shaila is, who's the Mukhsa? So if you have a Yoresh, we were talking about Yerusha. If you have a Yorish gets the money, it's a Sufik if the Malva is entitled to collect. So the Malva is Mechusa Gavain, and the Yorish is called the Mechusa. What if it's a Yorish pitted against another Yorish? If this one died first, so the Yerusha goes this way. If this one died first, the Yerusha goes that way. Nafal Abayis Alov Alima, you don't know who died first. You don't know which Yorish gets it. So a Yorish against the Yorish, so it's even Stephen, so they're both equal Mechzokim, so they're divided equally. So the Mishnah says no. There's one opinion in the Mishnah that the Yorish Mitzad Ha'av is more Muchzak than the Yorish Mitzad Ha'ein. A Ben Yorish Hasimai, but the mother's going to be from a different shevet from the father. So the Gemara has an expression, Hoel b'huchsa ko nachla la'oso ha-shevet. So what does that mean? So the Gemara says that one of the Amoraim, Kozman, he lived in Bavel, he didn't think of this din. When he moved to Eretz Yisrael, Avira Eretz Yisrael Machkim, and he thought of this pshat in the Mishnah, why one Yorish is stronger muchsak than the other Yorish. So the Nozit told me in the name of Rav Kook that people make a mistake. They think Avira Eretz Yisrael Machkim, you can think better in learning. He says, no, Rav Kook said pshat in the Gemara was Kozman, he lived in Bavel. He didn't have the musog that there are different shvatim, that this is called Chevel Binyamin, this is called Chevel Yehuda, this is Nachlas Yisachar, this is Nachlas Zvulun. When he moved to Eretz Yisrael, and they took him on a tour, and they said, this is Shevet Yehuda, this is... So it occurred to him, hey, there's a new concept of Hoel V'Huchzak Nachla L'Osa Shevet, that the Rebbe Shalom wants to have Yud Beishvatim, and every Shevet has a different section in Eretz Yisrael, and there's a new concept of Muchzokas. Rav Kook was crazy about Eretz Yisrael, but that's what he says. He reinterpreted the Gemara that it does mean Avir Eretz Yisrael Machkim on everything. When you learn Gittin Eretz Yisrael, it's not going to be better than learning a Chutz L'Aretz. When you're learning about Hol V'Huchzak Nachla L'Osa Shevet, that won't occur to you if you don't see Eretz Yisrael, that each Shevet has its own share in Eretz Yisrael. This is what the Rebbeinu Shalom wanted. There should be Goli Kagoyim Yemi Mecca. There should be Yud Beis Shvatim, and Eretz Yisrael consists of Yud Beis Chalokim. There should be, it's Amatul Yisrael. In that sense, all the Shvatim are together, pitted against the Kainim Levim. But you have to have the Yud Beis Shvatim. Each one should be separate also. Okay. So Sunday I won't be able to give a shiur. I'm going to be out of town. But Monday we'll start Chazar.
I hope we'll be able to...